Chumash, we have two dinim of a woman becoming tameya, either a nida or a zava. And the Chumash says if the dam comes be'es nidasa, she becomes a nida. The dam comes shalo be'es below es nidasa, she becomes a zava. What is below es nidasa? So the Gemara says in nida that there yud alef yam shevei nida la nida. That when a woman first has a rias nido, so she's tameya for 7 days. So the next 11 days, it's not normal that she should have a rias dam. And if the dam comes and the yud alef yam shebe nido le nido, then she becomes a zav. So if she has a rias 1 day, she becomes a zavak tana. She has a rias 3 days in a row, she becomes a zavak doilo. What are the differences between a nido and a zavak doilo? So Nida doesn't need Shivin Akim, and Nida has to wait 7 days. So let's say the Isha has a Riyaz Dam on Wednesday. So she's Tameya through next Tuesday, Shkia. Whether she has Dam every day or not, it doesn't matter. And then she can go to Mikvah on Tuesday night. That's the end of the 7 days. Wednesday is the first day, so Tuesday is the last day. The next week she can go to Mikvah the night following Tuesday. You need 7 full days. And by a Zava, if she has dam 3 days in a row, 3 consecutive days in the Yud Alef Yom Shebei Nida L'Nida, she becomes a Zava G'doyla. If she has only dam 1 day or 2 days in a row in the Yud Alef Yom, so she becomes a Zava K'tana. So she needs 1 day to be Naki in Antara. And if she has a Riyaz Dam 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava G'doyla, and she needs Shivin Akim. So Shivin Akim, she has to make a Hefsek Tara 1 day, she has to make a Bedika to establish that the dam stopped coming. And then the day after the Hefsek Tara, apparently a lot of women make a mistake, they count the day on which they make the Hefsek Tara as the first day of the Shivin Akim. The Gemara says that the Tzdukim used to do like that. But our tradition, the Chachamim have a tradition that they start counting the next day, not the day of the Hefsek Tara. So the next day, start counting Shivin Akim. And then she can go to mikveh even the morning of the 7th day. We allow mikzas hayom kekula. That's the whole mocker for the din. We have a din in avelus and a din in nazir that you sometimes say mikzas hayom kekula. So the mocker for that institution of mikzas hayom kekula is the pasuk by Zova that it says v'achar titar, and the chacham had tradition achar means achar ma'ase titar. If she makes a bedika in the morning of the 7th day. Manatara, she can go to mikveh that morning, you say mikzam kekula. Then one difference is that the nida needs 7 days, the zava needs shivin akim. The other difference is that by the zava you say mikzas yam kekula on the last day because you're supposed to make bedikas. By the nida, there's nothing to do, you just wait to see if there is dam or not. So you don't apply mikzam kekula if you don't have to do something, you only apply it. Mikzas nihug hayom, a person is observing avelus, and mikzas nihug is sufficient. So by the zava she has to make bedikas, then you can say mikzam kekula. But neither you can't say mikzam kekula. Then the third difference is that the zava has to bring a korban when she becomes tahira after she goes to the mikveh, and the neither does not have to bring a korban. Some go'onim were of the opinion that just like a zav needs tefila in a mayon, a normal person says, Ach mayna bar mikveh mayim yetar. A person can either be tevil in a mayon or in a mikveh. A zav requires dafke tefillah in a mayon. Mayon means the source of the water from under the ground. Tanoim knew that all the water comes, there's a water cycle, the Gemara talks about it at length, but they knew all the water comes from the sky. But if the water is rolling under the ground long enough, then it shoots up like a fountain. That's called a mayon, even though we know all the water comes from the rain and from the melted snow. It depends how long was it rolling under the ground. So there was an opinion in the days of the Goenim that just like a zav needs mayim chayim, needs a mayon, so too a zava needs mayim chayim. So Rashi in different places, around 5 places, Rashi quotes that. In another 5 places, Rashi writes that it's wrong, because it's a beferish tosefta. That the aim being Zav Lezava Ella, they both need Hepsik Tara, the Zav and the Zava, they both need Shivin Akim, they both say Mikzam Kekuloi, both have to bring a carbon at the end. It's totally different things. By the Isha it's a Dam, and by the Zav it's a different emission, a different color. But the Tumah is the same. The difference is, the Tosefta said the difference is that the Zav needs a Mayon, and the Zava does not need a Mayon. So that's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Some are machmer to require a mayon. And Rabbi Tendler said that he checked in different mikvahs and different mayones, and he says if you toivel in a mayon, the water will be cleaner. It'll be healthier. It won't have as many germs. If you're the 10th woman who uses the mikvahs, you're going to have all the germs from all the 9 women before you. If you have a mayon, that it's the source of the water from under the ground, the water keeps on flowing, so the water is going to be cleaner. Okay. So min ha-Torah, the Zava is permitted to be toivel the morning of the 7th day. However, if she'll have a rias dam later in the day before the shkia, so there's a machlekes hatanoim on the level of the rais of what the din is, and we paskin that if even though you said miksem kekulai, the shivinikim are not fully up yet, you can go to mikveh, but if you'll have a rias dam later in the day, it'll turn out the whole day was ein anoki. My friend, the whole day was ain't a noki, and she only had 6 yamim dikin. She didn't have the 7th day that was noki. So if the woman will go to mikveh the morning of the 7th day by a zavik doyle, relying on mikzas hayam kekulai, and then she'll have tashmish with the husband, and then she'll be chazer, she'll have another riyah. So that'll be soysel mafreya. So it'll come out that she violated an isa koris because she was with her husband and she was really a zavik. So the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon says, you're not allowed to do that. Aval omer chachamim also lasses kain. Shematira. Also lasses kain, what are you not allowed to do? So that's a machloikis of Rishonim. Also lasses kain means you can be toivel in the morning, but you can't have tashmish. Oh no, also lasses kain, you're not allowed to be toivel in the morning. So the accepted opinion is that not only are you not allowed to have tashmish, shematira v'tista may turn out, igloi muslim afreda, the whole day was in a noki. She's not even allowed to go to the mikveh because we're afraid. Shemet Tishamish or Shemet Tirabatista. When do you start counting the Shiva Nikim? So after the Dam ends, you have to have Hefsik Tara. Then the next day is the first day of the Shiva Nikim. So the Gemara has an Ibaya, a Suffolk, and Ibaya Lev Shita. What's a din? If the woman had there's a din in the Chumash that if a woman had Tashmish with her husband, and then the Sheikh Mazer rolls out from her, from the Bais HaPnimi into the Bais HaChitzon, rolls out from her rechem, so that's which is highly unlikely. The doctors say it's impossible. The Zera never goes from the Bais HaPnimi to the Bais HaChitzon. How do you ever have a din of paletas then? So the professor, Dr. Abraham, the one who wrote the Nishmas Avraham, says it's only possible if it's on the if it's on the cervix, on the shinaim, because the Gemara says the makam of the shinaim, the makam of the cervix is dinikil of nim. So if the zera habal is on the cervix, then it can roll out. So that's considered for the bais hapnimi to the bais hachitzon. Once it passed the shinaim, once it went deeper in than the cervix, so he said biologically, physically, it never comes out. So it's very, the whole story is very rare. All dina poletas, but still there is a dina chumash. If a woman has tashmish with her husband and then she's poleta sheikh mazera, that's been tami her that day. Doesn't make her into a nidor a zava, makes her into poleta sheikh mazera, like a man is a balkari, so the woman has a din. So the Gemara has an ibayt leib shita. If a woman is counting shivinikim because she's a zava gdoila, and she, or let's say a zava ktana, has to have one day that's noki, and then she's poleta sheikh mazera, is it soisa that day? That day shall not be oila. Because it's a safek, so we're machmer on that. So how long can the woman be polet to sheikh mazera? If the sheikh mazera is no longer potent, it's not royal hazriya, so then there's no din of polet to sheikh mazera. So the Gemara has a machloikis in Masecha Shabbos, Perakamba Rabbi Kiva, the 24 prokim in Masecha Shabbos. You can get lost over there. So the Gemara talks about Maimon HaSinai, that everyone had to have prisha shloshayam. The married people had to have prisha; they weren't allowed to live together because it wasn't permissible for anyone who's a balkeri or a palet to sheikh mazera to participate in Maimon HaSinai. So why did they have to have prisha 3 days? Because the sheikh mazera can be palet; the woman can be palet to sheikh mazera up until 3 days after having had tashmish. So the last 3 days before Maimon HaSinai, they're not allowed to have tashmish. She won't be able to become a polet. She'll be go to the mikveh right before Shavuos, and everyone will be tohar for the purposes of Maimon HaSinai. So the Gemara has a machloikis, a biological question, a physical question. How long is the shechvazera of the Baal potent if it's sitting inside the Gufa Isha? It may not necessarily be the same if it's in a container or if you put it in a refrigerator, put it in a freezer. It's not going to be the same. So the Gemara says if it's in the Gufa Isha, it may not be the same if it's inside the Gufa of a Nochris. Could be the Gemara has a suffix. Could be that the body temperature of Jews is different from the body temperature of the Goyim. The Gemara is not sure. Because the Jews have a different diet. We eat kosher food, Orthodox Jews, and we're nervous about mitzvahs, daigibi mitzvahs. So maybe we have a higher temperature, maybe we have a lower temperature. The Gemara is not sure. The Chasam Sofer writes in one place, one of his letters, Baba Nesenu Harabim, we don't have a Jewish medical school, so we never check this out. The Gemara is not sure. So when they started Einstein, everybody was so excited. Baba Nesenu Harabim, we have a Jewish medical school. I think they checked it out. It seems that it is the same. It's the same body temperature for the Jews and the non-Jews. But the Gemara had a suffix about it. So the Gemara says that the Sheikh Mazera in the Gufa Isha, Hayisraelis, can have potency. It's a question if it's accurate. The Gemara says it may have potency up until 72 hours later. So it's possible, if the woman has Tashmish, it's possible to be Polet to Sheikh Mazera up until 72 hours later. 72 hours, when do you have the Tashmish? So if you have the Tashmish in the middle of, you don't have the Tashmish right before Shkia, let's say you have the Tashmish in the middle of the night, so it could be up until 72 hours later, so that's going to knock off 4 days on the calendar, 4 calendar days. It's possible for the woman to be polet to Sheikh Vazer the first day, the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, because 72 hours is going to land up in the middle of the fourth day. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch has a chumrah that if a woman is a zava and she needs shiva nikiyim, she may have just had tashmish right before she became a zava, right before the riyas adam, and she may be polot to Sheikh Mazera up until the first 4 days following the tashmish. So even if the dam stops after 2 days, you can't begin to count Shiva Nikiyim on the third day or the fourth day, because maybe she'll still be polet to Sheikh Mazera on the third day and the fourth day. The whole thing is highly unlikely, as we said, like Dr. Abraham said. It's only if it's on the shinaim, on the cervix. If it's further in, if it's further out, that's not called polet to Sheikh Mazera. That's Sheikh Mazera when it comes on the outside of the body is matame, it's b'maga. But it's only soisa Shiva Nikiyim if polet to Sheikh Mazera is a tumas riyah. The tumas maga, then the Gemara said it's not soisa. It's only called the tumas riyah. The whole suffix in the Gemara is only a tumas riyah if the Sheikh Mazera comes from the bais apanim of the isha out into the bais achitzan. So that's what they have in Shulchan Aruch, that even if a woman didn't have tashmish, we should be machmen to discount the first 4 days. Then the Ramah quotes an additional chumrah that the Ashkenazim follow, that a woman may possibly have had tashmish bein ashmashes, and she may have thought that bein ashmashes is yom. She didn't look at her watch to see what time it is, so she may think that she had the tashmish by yom, and the 4 days that she's going to discount, the first 4 days, are going to end after 4 days. And really, the truth of the matter was that she really had the tashmish balayla a while after Tzeisal Kachavim, and the 4 days have to be discounted an additional day. She may make a mistake with Bein Hashmashes. So because of that possibility, so the meaning developed that the women discount the first 5 days. Even though there isn't dam coming out the first 5 days, the dam stops after 2 days, after 3 days, but you shouldn't begin to count Shiva Nikiyim on the fourth day, the fifth day after the dam stops, because maybe she was polet to Sheikh Vazer. She knows she didn't have any tashmish. The meaning developed that you make a gzera, lo shimsha or tu shimsha. So that's the meaning. Sometimes in recent years, the doctors came to the realization that some of the women have a very short cycle, so the ovulation period is going to take place with all of these chumras. You need Shiva Nikiyim. You don't begin to count you. Menatoira, the woman, most of the women are nidus. Most of the women are not zavah, so you don't need shiva nikiyim. So the whole thing is a chumrah to begin with. what is the chumrah? Why do we require shivinikema of all of the women? So the Gemara says, what if a woman is a toa? She lost track of whether she's a nida or a zava. She forgot when the yudalfiyam shebe nida and nida are. Apparently, it can be so confusing that the woman can get amnesia and she'll forget what world she's in. So you have cases in the Mishnah, abstract case in the Mishnah, talks a woman doesn't remember, did she have a baby, did she have a baby boy, baby girl, did she have Nida, Zova, Torah? She doesn't remember what planet she's on. She's totally confused. So the Mishnah says you have to, one opinion is Tefillah b'zman mitzvah. That was a big machlokes in the days of the Tanaim, where the Tefillah rochatz b'sar b'mayim. Rachatz is a loshen tzivoy. The woman has to, the person who's tummy has to go to mikveh the first available opportunity. Tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So then, if tefillah b'zman mitzvah, the woman doesn't remember what she's holding by. So the Mishnah has a woman has to go to mikveh 48 times, something like that. In the morning, maybe she's a zava gedola, and at night, maybe she's a nida. Next morning, next night, maybe she had a baby boy, maybe she had a baby girl. All the logical possibilities. In the days of the Goyim, it was a machlokes, whether you pass on tefillah b'zman mitzvah. In the days of the Rishonim, it was a machlokes. Rabbi Natam and his brother-in-law, Tosfos in Yuma, quotes machlokes had a paskin. Lamaisa, we hold la locha that tefillah b'zman is lav mitzvah, but lachatchila, the proper thing is that a baila boir, if the husband is in town, then she should go to mikveh b'zmana. If the husband is not in town, and it's inconvenient to go to mikveh b'zmana, so then you have to ask a shayla. Then you have discussions in Shulchan Aruch. So in the days of the Tanaim, such a thing would happen once in a while. A woman would become a toa. Woman wouldn't remember where she's holding. So they made a chumrah midrabbanan that any woman who has riyas dam should go the chumrah in both directions. Maybe she's a nida, and maybe she's a zava. If she's only a zava, she only has a riyas dam one day, so she only has to have shemeres yom kenegen yom one day. Noki, but maybe she's a nida, and you need 7 full days. And if she has a riyas dam 3 days in a row, then maybe she had the riyas dam in the middle of Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida La Nida, and then she would need Shivinakim. So usually a woman does have a riyas dam 3 days in a row. So you have the Takonas HaTanoim, that you treat every woman as if she were a Toa, as if she were a Zavah Gedoyla, so you need Shivinakim. What if a woman only has tipa zamka hardl? So you can't. So the worst it could be is that she's either zavaktana, shemeres yom keneged yom, or it could be that she's a nida. So she has to wait 6 more days. That, let's say she has the riyas dam on Wednesday. So she waits another 6 days and she goes to mikveh. She doesn't need shivinakim. She goes to mikveh. So mimanav shach should be okay. So that the Gemara says, that's a minig. Menoisi selach mir al atzman, that's a minig. And the Gemara says, hechad nog, nog, hechad log. The lo nog, lo nog. The Gemara says it wasn't the universal minig. Years ago, it was only a minig in some communities, not in all. Today, it's assumed to be a universal minig that either if the ish only has one riyas dam, she didn't have 3 days in a row, so you still require shivinakim. Yeah. So sometimes in recent years, the doctors come to the realization that the woman has ovulation because we make her wait shivinakim 5 days, 4 days, 5 days till she begins to go to the mikveh, till she begins to go to count her shivinakim. So sometimes she misses her ovulation and she can't have she can't become pregnant because her cycle is so short. So then you have to ask a shayla, when can you chisel down on 5 days instead of 5 days, 4 days? Other posts can give other suggestions. They have to work on how to be able to become pregnant. What if a boy proposes to a girl? So the Gemara assumes that there's probably going to be dam chimut, and the dam chimut is regular dam. Dam chimut is regular dam. And the Gemara says that this din of dam chimut, you need shivinakim. The din of dam chimut even applies if the woman is a zakena, even if the woman is already 70 years old. If she's remarrying, so you still have to count shivinakim. And she has to go to the mikveh. Yeah, what about dam besulim? If the girl is married for the first time, and then when they have the bir rishayna, then there's dam when the membrane is broken. So that's considered dam maka. That's not really dam anida. So the Mishnah has that they made a chumrah midrabbanan that the dam besulim is metame the woman, and la locha we assume not only is it a din in tumah betar, it's a din legabi baila as well. The woman is asur la baila. Then we have a chumra in Rishonim, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that when the girl gets married and they had the bir Rishonah, even if they look and they don't find any dam, if there was shichva zera, so we're concerned maybe the shichva zera covered over the dam, maybe there was a rias dam and he didn't notice it. But that only applies if they had a gemar bir, if there was shichva zera, if there was no shichva zera not. And usually Rav Moshe used to be mekel on this. Usually Yeshiva Bacha has no experience in this area, and he doesn't know what he's doing. We hope the girl also doesn't have any experience. She doesn't know what she's doing either. So if there's a suffix whether there was a gemar bia or not, we assume there was no gemar bia. He probably wasn't. He probably didn't do hachnasas kol ha'ever into the guf ha'isha. So whenever there's a suffix, we assume. Whenever you're not sure, we assume he probably didn't do a gemar bia. And if there's no dam, so you assume that there's no dam. Sometimes the girls are checked out by a doctor in advance. The doctor says that she has no psulim. The psulim broke. Okay, whatever. So then the accepted opinion is that you don't need shivinikim after the bir rishonah. You know that there is no dam psulim. So then the din requires that the woman has to go to mikveh in order to be mutaris lebaila. And the pasuk says is called besar b'mayim. You have to have all of the body has to be submerged under the water bevasa achas. There's a difficult pasuk that says by a zav, if a zav is tummy and he touches someone, kolashiyga ba'zav yitma, whatever he touches is tummy. But the pasuk says kolashiyga ba'zav yodav loshata b'mayim, if he didn't wash his hands. Means if he dipped his hands in the mikveh, even though the rest of the body didn't go into the mikveh, dipped his hands in the mikveh, then the hands are tahar. There is no such thing. You have to be tovel kol haguf bevasachas. How does the Chumash write such a misleading pasuk? The yodav loshata b'mayim. So the Gemara says what it means is that you only need biasmayim on the surface, on the outside surface of the body of the person, the man or the woman who's being tovel. You don't need biasmayim in the beis hastor. My yodav ibaroi. I've called me ibaroi. You only need tefillah, not yodav loshata b'mayim. If he dipped his hands in the mikveh, the hands are still tummy. Has to be tovel the whole body bevasachas, but he doesn't have to open his mouth when he's tovel in the mikveh, and he doesn't have to open his eyes, because the inside the mouth and inside the eyes and the bottom of the feet, normally when you walk, so the bottom of the feet is covered over, so that's considered beis hastorim. The Rashi Mishnah quotes that there were women who had a practice, these when they went into the mikveh, they used to jump in order that the whole surface of the body should be covered with water at the same time, including the bottom of the feet. So the Rash says that that's not really necessary. We paskin that the beis hastorim doesn't require bias mayim. However, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that even though inside of the mouth is beis hastorim, you don't need bias mayim, but you need roil bias mayim. And they quote the comment that Rav Zeira made. Rav Zeira explains the Mishnah Menachos. It says when you bring a korban mincha, you need the solus, then you need shemen, then you're supposed to do blila, mincha blila b'shemen. So the Mishnah says loy balal is kosher. Even if you didn't stir, if you did the matan shemen, you poured the shemen in the kli, but you didn't stir it, so the blila is not miyakev. And even though the blila is not miyakev, there's another Mishnah that says that if you have samach alaf esroinim, a person can't bring a mincha less than isar and solus. But you can bring 20 Esrenim, bring 30, 40, 50, 60 Esrenim, and Kli Echad, it's one big mincha. But if you want to bring more than 60, you can't bring more than 60 big Kli Echad, because if you're going to try to stir it, they didn't have such gigantic kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. You have to do the Blila in a Kli Sharis. So they didn't have such big kelim. So if you're going to have more than 60 Esrenim, it's going to fall out of the Kli. So the Gemara says, so you won't do Blila. The din is that the Blila is not Miyakev. So that's what Rav Zeira explains on the Mishnah. Even though Blila is not Miyake, but if it's not Royal Blila, then the Blila is Miyakim. So that's what the Gemara says over here, that one of Rebbe's Shvachos, Rebbe had Avodim Shvachos before Lincoln freed the slaves. So Rebbe had a Shivcha Knainis, she was Chayva Mitzvahs Kehisha, so she became Anida, so she had to go to Mikveh. So when she went to Mikveh, after she came out of the Mikveh, she realized that she had a bone stuck in between her teeth. So she asked Rebbe, what's the din? So he said that even though you don't need bias mayim inside the mouth, but you need royal bias mayim. So chatzitza in the beis hastorim passels the whole tefillah. The question is why? So the Tosfos basically raises the issue, and according to the way the Shagazari explains in his Sefer, we understand Tosfos' question very well. Shagazari says that this klal, this idea of Rav Zeira, kol sheinu roi labi, labi l'miakevus boi, only applies to a mitzvah, where the mitzvah b'shleimusa should have been done like this, and you did it shalo b'shleimusa. So you learn from the pasuk that even shalo b'shleimusa, it's good. Even if you have, let's say you did the chalitza, and you didn't do the kriyas ha'psukim. So we pass on the kriyas ha'psukim is not miyakev, different opinions in the Tanoim. We pass on like Rabbi Akiva that kriyas ha'psukim is not miyakev. Or let's say when you bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdosh, reciting Arami Avirovi is not miyakev. Or when you bring a mincha, so the blila is not miyakev. The mitzvah b'shleimus says you should do mincha blula b'shemen, and the blila is not miyakev. But if the nature of the mitzvah is such that it's impossible to do blila, if the person is mute and he can't speak, he can't recite the psukim by the chalitza, lo chafasti lekachdem ein yibami, and so on, then the Gemara says the whole chalitza is possible, because that's considered very much shalom b'shleimus. So this would make sense when you're dealing with a mitzvah, so the mitzvah should be done b'shleimusa. If you do shalom b'shleimusa, it's good, but if it's impossible to do it, it's ein aroi lebila, then it's considered too much shalom b'shleimusa. But by tefillah and a mikveh, there isn't even a requirement l'chatchila that you should open your mouth. So it's not a mitzvah l'chatchila. There's no such mitzvah l'chatchila. So why should a chatzitz and a beis hastar impossible? So this led the Ritva to claim that this din is only made Rabbanim. Many poskim adopted the position of the Ritva, that chatzitz and the beis hastarim is only a din made Rabbanim, and our Torah doesn't really make any sense. And then the poskim would say like that, add on, that how big is the chatzitz going to be in the beis hastarim? What, are you going to have stitches? Are you going to have a temporary filling or something? What, are you going to have a bone? How much of a chatzitz is there? It's only a miut. It's a miut hamakbit. So in our Torah, it's only considered a chatzitza if it's rubai hamakbit. Here it's going to be, it's a chatzitza only in Beis HaStorim, and it's only a miut. So many poskim assume that to begin with, you're only dealing with a trei derabbanan. So that's why many would be mekel on chatzitzas inside the mouth. As long as they have some svar lo'akel, there is a din that the combination of the two chumris from derabbanan has to be observed. Like on Shabbos, Hashvuz Deshuz. Hashvuz Deshuz is a lower level derabbanan. So that's why we make all the Shvuz Deshuz. But Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. Shalom Makam Mitzvah is not Mutter. So many Achrenim have such an attitude. They think that we should accept the view of the Ritva, that Chatzitz and Beis HaStorim is only derabbanan, and it's only a miut. It's not going to be the whole roiv of the mouth, not going to be full of Chatzitzes. So beginning with a trei derabbanan, so there's room to make all the issues come up. Other poskim say it's not true that we should follow Tosfos. Tosfos' opinion is the chatzitz and beis hastarim is a real din d'oraisa, so they're not so convinced that it's a trei derabbanan. The minig is
rov of the mouth would be rov even if it's not rov of the body.
That's the chumrah that the rishonim have. There was an opinion, the Rama quotes the opinion, and he doesn't like it. But the Goyim had a view that he learned up in the Pesuk of Berachatz, es besora b'mayim. So es is usually mar b'something. The word es is meyuter. So whenever it says es, Shimon Hamsen used to darshan every time it says es. So what he darshan over here, es, like es Hashem lachecha tira, is l'rabbis tamid chachamim. Why tamid chachamim? Because they're closer, S is something that's batel to the other thing. Es Hashem Lekecha Tamina Chachamim, my batel to HaKadosh Baruch. So here it says, Rochetz Es Besorah, the Rabbi says Haseyor, that the Basar is only the flesh of the body. So let's say a woman or a man has very long hair, and the Tevel and the Mikvah, the whole body, the whole flesh of the body is below the surface of the water, and the hair didn't go all under. So that we learn that from the pasuk, you have to be tovel the hair as well. So the goyim were of the opinion that the hair is a separate din of tefillah. That if you have a roiv of the hair, chatzitz on the hair, roiv of the hair is full of paint, even though it's not the roiv of the body, that's already a chatzitz. So the Rav Avla Soloveitchik in his sefer on the Rambam understood the goyim to mean that it's only a din in seir; it doesn't apply to any other part of the body. the body, the basa needs tvila, and you judge ruba makbi ruba on the whole body, and the seir is a separate entity. But the Meiri quotes these goinim. He understood just like the hair is a separate unit, and you judge roiv of the hair. So every aver is a separate unit. So this is one aver. This is a second aver. This is a third aver. Whenever you have basa gid matzamas, whenever you have a whole bone, here's a whole bone, and the tip of the pinky is also, that's an aver. Here, this is one aver. From here to here is one aver. So the roiv over here is going to be big. So that's why the minig, the Meiri said, that's why the minig developed, that women are careful to remove all little chatzitzas. It's a mir chena makbid. So what are they so concerned about? A chatzitza mir chena makbid. He says, on the chest or on the arm, maybe it's a forehead, maybe it's a mir chena makbid over there, but if it would have been on the tip of the pinky, that would have been the roiv already. Such a chatzitza, an inch by an inch, or 3/4 of an inch, you don't have an inch by an inch here, have a half an inch by half an inch, may have been a roiv over here. And if it's roiv even in a makbid, it's a chatzitza. So since on this part of the body, that size of a blotch of ink or paint would be a chatzitza, so the women developed a minig that they're machme even any other part of the body also. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch they quote that the smak writes that his wife had a chumrah, she would always peel off whenever she had a wound and it developed a scab. So she doesn't want to have the scab daily on her foot. So that's a chatzitz and a miut. So she would remove all the scabs, even though it started to bleed a little bit, and it would take longer to heal. That was the chumrah that the women started. The rabbis didn't start that chumrah. The women started that chumrah. That even a miut, shein a makbid, you consider it a chatzitz. Either because of this cheshman, that's what the Meiri says, because of the shittas hagoyim, not only the hair is judged as a separate entity, roiv of the hair is a chatzitza, any aver in the body, any aver means even a tiny aver like this, pasigid matzamas, and then otu, this size of a chatzitza on the tip of the pink would be a chatzitza, so even on the stomach, that it's not at all the roiv. And others say the meaning is based on Rashi. Rashi's opinion is that the only time, the Gemara says that you need ruba makbid ben atoira, but if it's a miut chena makbid, it's not even chaytzitz ben derabanan. So Rashi's opinion is that's only on the seyar or on an uber, on a fetus. But if you're talking about, or on kelim. But if talking about gufa adam, even a miut chena makbid is also chaytzitz. So even the Tosfos and all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. So some say that the meaning developed, the women were chayshish for Rashi's opinion.
Is that why women are makbid to remove nail polish? Because nail polish, it's
ain't a makbid. It's ain't a
makbid,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They wanted to stay there.
They dafka wanted, yeah.
Yeah. So why are women makbid to remove nail polish? Because of the sheet on the Meiri?
Either the Meiri or the Rashi, one or the other. The women are makbid, they remove all the chatzitzes. Then another chumrah would develop based on the Ravid Shita. Most of the Rishonim don't agree. There's a Mishnah Mikvos, if you have a frying pan and it has a handle, a long handle. So how long is the handle? 3 inches, 4 inches, how long? Let's say you have a long handle that's 20 inches long. That's not normal. So let's say it's in the way. The handle is way too long. I plan to cut off the handle. So the Mishnah discusses, let's say the frying pan became tummy, you have to be toivel in a mikveh to remove the tumah. So do you have to be toivel the whole frying pan with the whole handle, the whole 20 inches long? Or whatever zamili cuts it is no longer part of the cleave, and I didn't cut it off yet. And it's only considered, the handle is only considered part of the cleave till a few inches, that's normal, that you normally have that. So there is such a discussion in the Mishnayos. So then the Ravid interprets the Gemara in Zvachim as saying, it depends, is a layman able to remove it on his own, or do you have to go to a mumche to cut off the extra part of the frying pan, of the handle? So let's say a woman has long hair, and the hair is too long. A man needs a haircut. Hair is too long. And he really has to go to the barber to get a haircut. He wants very much, but he's busy all day and all night. He's busy. So the hair that's immediately, or let's say a person has long fingernails and they bother him, and he wants to cut off the nails because they're too long. He has to find 10 minutes to cut off his nails. So since it's a layman can cut off the nails, so we say, it's no longer part of the body. So that constitutes a chatzitza on the tip of the nail. Since the extra eighth of an inch on the nail is amiligozes, or the extra half an inch on the hair is amiligozes, I want to cut it off, and I can shave it off on my own. I don't need to go to an expert. I can do it, a layman can do it on his own to cut off the nails. It's not like the handle of the frying pan that you need a mumche to do it. So the Rabbit learns in the Gemara that if a layman can do it, then it's considered a chatzitz on the rest of the nail. So that's why the minhag developed that the women always cut, even though a lot of women like to have long nails. So when they're younger and they go to mikveh, when they're still going to mikveh, so the minhag is that the religious women don't have long hair nails. They always cut off the nails short before they go to the mikveh because of this concern. The Chasam Sofer discusses the minhag in Hungary used to be that the women, after Bir Rishayna, would shave off their hair and put on a sheitel. They would have a bald head. So how did they go to mikveh? How did they go to mikveh before they got married? She plans to cut off the whole hair. The whole head is all the hair is a chatzitz on the head. So they said no. She's not cutting off her hair till after Bir Rishayna. She's not going to cut it off before. So it's not amiligozes. There's a reason why bedavkana. Not that she's so busy, she has no time. The minhag was that those who had such a minhag to shave off the hair. They only shaved it off after the Bir Rishayna. So let's say a single girl wants to go to mikveh because she wants to sin. So if the mikveh lady knows that she's single, she shouldn't allow her to go to the mikveh. In the days of the Mishnayos, everybody had to go to mikveh. The single girl, the young girls, the 10-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl. Everyone had to go to mikveh because whatever they would touch would become tummy. Whoever they would touch, whatever food they would touch, whatever sheets, whatever tables, chairs, anything they would touch would become tummy. In the days of the Tanoim, the women used to wear big denidusa, special begadim, to advertise. Everyone would know that the woman is a nida, and if you touch her, you become tummy. Because it was relevant for Tumah Vatar. Everybody had to know. Bizman Azad, the whole going to mikveh is only irrelevant with respect to Hetel Abayla, so it's nobody's business. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Noga Lahaster Leil Tvilosa. The women don't advertise to the neighbors when they're going to the mikveh. It's nobody's business. But in the days of the Tanaim, all the neighbors, everybody knew. The daughters knew, all the members of the family, everybody knew when the woman was going to mikveh. Didn't have the connotation of being with your husband because it was relevant for Tumah Vatar. Even the single girls had to go to mikveh. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. It's a question whether it's a real din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan, that in the oinos haveses, the husband has to be parish meishta. He's not allowed to be with his wife in the oinos haveses. When is the oinos haveses? So we assume that there are two or three different vestors. So there's a vestus kavua and there's a vestus shenikva. Vestus kavua means if it repeated itself three times in a row, that's called the vestus kavua. The Gemara has machlokes, whether two times or three times. So the Gemara says, how many times does something have to repeat itself that it should establish the regilus? So the Gemara says, sometimes we pass on two, sometimes we pass on three. When you get to vestus, the Gemara says we pass on three. Question, why? Why sometimes two, sometimes three? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Gemara doesn't explain why the compromise. The Gemara says, La'alocha, to have a Vesas Kavu, you need three times in a row. A Vesas Kavu of what? So there's a Vesas HaChodesh, and there's a Vesas HaVlog. A Vesas HaChodesh is, if three times in a row, the Rias Dam started on the same day of the month, of the Hebrew calendar. Even though sometimes the Moilad Halvana was really yesterday, and we make today Rosh Chodesh, we really should have made yesterday Rosh Chodesh. So maybe the Moilad Halvana, maybe the moon has some effect on the human body. So maybe the Vesas HaChodesh should depend on when the Moilad was. Maybe it should depend on when Rosh Chodesh was declared. So some Rishonim say like that. So that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion Shulchan Aruch is It depends on when we declared Rosh Chodesh. It goes on the calendar. It doesn't go on the Moilah. So that's one kind of Eses Kavua. If the three months in a row, yeah, the Isha has the Riyas Dam on the same day of the month. It means sometimes it's every other month is 29 days, every month is 30 days. That's a strange Vesis. It corresponds to the Hebrew calendar, which doesn't always correspond to the Moilah Halvana. Okay? That's called Shipura Gorim. The Easter blow shofar to announce that today is Rosh Chodesh. So the shofar is Geirim, the fact that Bezdin declared the day is Rosh Chodesh, the Tkir shofar is Koveya when the Vesas is going to happen. Today we don't have any Bezdin declaring, we don't have anybody blowing shofar, but we still assume that there is such a Vesas HaChodesh. Then the Gemara said there's another Vesas, a Vesas HaFloga, that the woman has at certain intervals, she has a Riyas Dam. Let's say a woman has a Riyas Dam once every 6 months. So the Gemara says, if the woman has a Riyas Dam every month, normal, woman has a Riyas Dam, so she's able to have more babies. She has a Riyas Dam every 6 months, so her ovulation is only going to be a short period of time. She won't have the ability to have so many babies. She'll have fewer ovulations, or fewer children. But that's a Vesas HaFloga. How do you count the Vesas HaFloga? So most have the practice that you count the first day of the Riyas Dam. First day was, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and then a month and a half later, 45 days later, and then you count 45 days later, 45 days later, you count the first day of the Riyas Dam. And others, Lubavitch, counts from the end of the first Riyah to the beginning of the second Riyah. How much is the interval between the two? So if one Riyah is going to be 3-day Riyah, one Riyah is going to be 4-day Riyah, 5-day Riyah, it takes a longer Riyah, so then it's going to be a different Vesas HaFlog. Instead of counting from the beginning of the Riyah to the beginning of the Riyah to the beginning of the Riyah, you count for the end of the earlier Riyah to the beginning of the next Riyah. So the Babich follows that opinion. Most do not. Then the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about the Oina Beninis, the average Oina. What is that referring to? So there's a Machloikis in the early Achronim where the Oina Beninis, the average Oina, is a Haflogas Lamed or a Haflogas Lamed Aleph. The Chochmas Sodom recommends that one should be Machmer on both. The Shach claims that there is no such thing. He thinks that the Oina Beninis just means the Vesas HaChodesh. Whatever it was, the last month. So the Vesas HaChodesh, Yom HaChodesh, that's called the Oina Beninis. But the Chochmas Sodom follows the earlier poskim, not like the Shach, that Oina Beninis is an average haflogge, but since it's a machlegis, but haflogge is lamed alav, so he recommends that one should be machma on both. I remember when I first got married and I was learning these dinim, so I asked Rabbi Tendler Akasha that I thought was intelligent, and he told me he's surprised that I'm asking such a stupid kasha, but I still don't know what the answer is, that they write that in the Western world the average haflogge is less. Average haflogge is choftes. Haflogge means the way in Shulchan Aruch where they count, including the day of the first Riyah and the day on which the second Riyah began. So we would call it an interval of 28 days. So that would be Haflog of Chavtes Yom. So if the Western world had changed, so why do we still go with Haflog Aslam and Haflog Aslam and Aleph? We should have Haflog as Chavtes. So I don't know why Rabbi Tanner thought it was a stupid question. It should depend. Oh, you know, Beninus, average. Beninus means average, whatever is average. That's what it said in Reader's Digest, that the average haflog on the Western world is a haflog of 28, and we call that haflog as choftes. Yeah, what are you not supposed to do on the Yom Ha'ona, the day on which we expect the dam to come? So the Gemara says you're not allowed to have tashmish. You're not allowed to have tashmish. Hizartem is b'nei Yisrael mitamasim. Hizartem means they should separate. The men should separate from their wives on the Yom HaVeses. Does it also require that one should not kiss his wife, hug his wife, and so on? Kiruv Basar. So that's a machlekes. Achrayim, how serious is Kiruv Basar? So the Rambam's opinion is Elisha benidas tamasa lo sikavu legalis erva. So the Sifra says on that pasuk, lo sikavu goes on kirav basa. To kiss the woman who's a nida is an isa deraisa. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah disagrees with the Rambam. He thinks that that whole Sifra is only an asmachtam in the Rambanan. It's not an isa deraisa. So on the Shulchan Aruch they discuss. There's a big machlekes whether this din of prisha on the Yom HaBeses is that a real din deraisa or is that only an asmachtam in the Rambanan. So if one should assume that the din of prisha is a real din deraisa, and one should assume like the Rambam, the kirav basa is also a real isa deraisa. So there's room to be machmer over here. Then maybe on the Yom HaBeses, not only should it be also the tashmish, it should be also be kirav basa as well. Yeah. Let's say we said a woman is not allowed to go to mikveh on the morning of the seventh day of Shiva Nikim and Atar. She's allowed to, and the Rabbanah, she's not allowed to. Shema Teshamish v'shema Tirah v'tister. Maybe she'll have tashmish that day. Maybe she'll have dam before the shkia, and then it'll be soysa l'mafreya. It'll come out that the day was not a noki, and she only had shisha nikim. She didn't have shiva nikim. So what happens if the woman is going to be in a location the night after the shiva nikim? Is going to be a Shabbos, it's going to be far away from a mikveh. It's impossible to walk. It's impossible to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos if it's going to be so far away. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein follows those who are mekel based on the Rabbi Natam, that if the woman, the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to be toivah b'yom. So Rabbi Natam was mekel. And some assume that the Rabbi Natam is even mekel on the Yom HaShvi. The kula of Rabbi Natam even applies on the seventh day, that if the woman will go to mikveh, and lo tachzer, lo lebeso, this is the Chasam Sofer says, she won't come back home, lo lebeso, lo lebeso chavata, she won't come home to her home or to another neighbor's home until after Tzeis HaKochavim. So then the chashash shema tushamish v'tiratista doesn't apply. So let's say if the woman will go to mikveh, she'll drive to the mikveh on Friday late in the afternoon, and then instead of going home, she has all the whole Shabbos all set up, everything is ready. Instead of coming home, she'll go to shul. She'll go to shul. It's before the shkia. She's not going to drive after the shkia. She's going to drive to the shul and sit in the shul and daven there, and then go home with her husband. So if she's not going to be choseres lo lebeisav lo lebeis chavata till after laila, so then there's what to discuss. So then Rav Moshe Feinstein was maker like those many were machmer that this kula only applies on the eighth day after the shivani came arup, not on the seventh day, because we have a din with the rabbanon, the women should not go to mikveh in the daytime, even if the shivani came arup already. Mishum Srach Pita, the daughter will see that in the days of the Tanoim, everybody in the neighborhood knew when the woman went to mikveh, because she wore one uniform before, she wore different begotten before and after. They had advertised to everybody that they went to the mikveh. So the daughter's going to realize the mother went to mikveh in the daytime because she changed her dress in the middle of the day. She's not wearing the big day nidusa anymore. So the daughter may not realize that today's the Yom HaShmini. She'll think that it's the Yom HaShvi. So the daughter may mistakenly, after she gets married, she may go to mikveh on the seventh day in the morning. That's not allowed. So they made exer the rabbanon. Women are not allowed to go to mikveh in the daytime, period, only in the nighttime. So that's the question. When we rely on the Rabbi Natam, that a woman can go to mikveh in the daytime as long as she comes home balayla, she doesn't come home till at night. We even make al on the seventh day, you only make al on the eighth day. And the eighth day is a exer mishum srach bito. Seventh day is a more serious shayla. Shemet tisham, shemet tiratista. So Moshe was make al even on the seventh day. But the Chasam Sofer limits it, he restricts it. This kula is only if she won't return home lo lebeisav lo lebeis chavato until laila. Someone gave me a long list of shaylas, real serious shaylas. So maybe some other time we'll talk about the shaylas. Okay. So, what's the topic for tomorrow? I forgot already.
I think it was Instagram
Hatter
stuff.
Basa Bechalim, yeah. Instagram Hatter. Okay, good.
Everything that has changed.
That's what they say in the Western world. It
changed.
But most people are still knowing to him to kosher for at least Yom Shloshim, right? This man is there. Or not?
No, I didn't take a survey.
I understand, but. I know Rabbi, I heard from Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Abadi, it's not kosher at all for the banners.
What do you mean, the Yom HaChodesh?
Because it's not Shchiach anymore. Uh-huh. No, the owner of banners.
Uh-huh.
It's not Shchiach anymore. It's
But they say it is Shchiach.
They say
in the Western world,
yeah, but you're not kosher for the 30 days.
They said the average half-log is 28.
Right.
So we should kosher that. That's the
so call the 28 the owner of bainerness?
That today, that should be the owner of bainerness.
Uh-huh.
We would call half-log as chavtes.
Yeah.
Because we count, the children that count the day on which the first year took place, and the second year took place. Start. That's in English, you call it a half-log of 28.
Yeah, that was one of the three things that he fell out of favor in length of course. I'm sure Rebbe has heard that, right?
No.
No?
I remember, when I learned the length, but our body was single.
Rav Aaron said all the shyness to all body in those days, right? He was. Yeah, right.
Everybody thinks that it's a good average, because if you have 100 people that see 26, 100 people say 27, 28, 29, and 30, then the average is going to be 28.
It's not 51% of the women that have a log of 28.
I don't know. I don't think so. They say that there's a broad range of women. I don't know. What is. Does that matter, or does average just mean that?
Yeah, no. I would assume that 51% of women have a half-log of 28, so then that should be the only bad news. Maybe it's like you said. 20% of the women have a half-log of 26, 20% of 27, 20% of 28, so everything is 20%, so there's no average.
And then no average.
But isn't the consensus that as man as you still have to be cautious for 30 days, or it's not that hot sun?
No, Shabbos Paskins in a banner is
like
Rama
Kodesh, yeah. But other Paskim hold that even as man as you can, right?
The
Chokhman
Zan thinks he should be Machmer both.
Yeah.
Flogas Laman and half Flogas Laman.
No, but even if the woman has a. It's best to say in a kavua. 1 month she sees 27, 1 month 28, 1 month 29. She's a best to say in a kavua.
Yeah.
So the owner, she still should keep 30th day as an owner vein on this, right? Whether she has ever seen on the 30th day or not, she should observe the 30th day.
Yeah.
No? Isn't that the mainstream?
Yeah.
Isn't that the main?
Usually be irrelevant because she's already a neither.
Right. Uh-huh. But if she sees, as Rebbe said, every 6 months.